Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling. So glad that you joined us on the broadcast today. As part of our Worldview Wednesday edition of the program, we're joined by somebody from World Magazine each Wednesday to start our broadcast off. We may reverse things just a little bit here today. We're getting in touch with the reporter who has written a very interesting article about South Korea. We hope to be talking with Sophia Lee in just a couple of minutes on the broadcast, and we're going to be talking with her about her, as I mentioned, a very interesting article about South Korea. She should be joining us here in just a second. Let me just tell you that on tomorrow's broadcast, we are going to be talking with Dr. Heath Lambert, will be my guest on the first part of the program tomorrow. He's written a book called Finally Free, and it deals with the subject of pornography. He's actually going to be here in the upstate of South Carolina over at Redeemer Presbyterian Church on the weekend teaching a conference. There's going to be, or a seminar, I should say. And so he'll be there teaching that seminar. And so you don't want to miss the broadcast tomorrow so that you can find out information about that that seminar. I understand that we have Sophia on the line now, so we're going to go to her right away. Sophia, welcome into the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Thank you. Good to be here.
I'm glad.
Sorry about the lateness.
Oh, it's okay. It's live radio. That happens, and we're glad we could get a cell phone service that would work for you. So very excited to talk with you today about the articles that you have written about South Korea. And let's start with maybe you've given us a little bit of an overview. The first one that you wrote about, or the one that I was reading most recently, was the one about South Korea and the plastic facade. I think that probably a lot of people in our listening audience are like me, in that when you think about South Korea, you know, you think about it being very prosperous, especially with the contrast, of course, with North Korea. You point out in that article that we're all familiar with those very popular images of the satellite images of the all the points of light being over in South Korea and then it being dark over in North Korea and so forth. So there's this huge contrast that takes place, and that has really led us to kind of believe that all is well and good in South Korea. But your article seems to say not so fast. Tell our listeners, give them a little summary of what you wrote about in that article.
Right. Basically, the article is about how South Korea, even though it looks, as you mentioned, it looks all prosperous. And when you go into South Korea, one of the first things that most people mention is that, wow, there are churches everywhere because you see all these crosses. And even on the plane, when you look down at night, you will see all these brilliant crosses all over the peninsula. And you think, wow, this is such a great Christian country, too. And then you walk in the streets in Seoul, and the technology is just amazing. And all of these great businesses and companies are rising in South Korea, too. And South Korea has great entertainment business as well. The entertainment industry is known globally. And people who are non-Koreans just love the Korean shows and the Korean pop songs. So South Korea, the image-wise, is really getting up there. But if you dig deeper into the society, you will see a lot of cracks in that window. I think the article will mention that the root of that that crack is that a lot of churches are diminishing in power. they're no longer being the salt and light in the society. So they're losing a lot of spiritual influence on the country. And I think the pathway that South Korea is advancing is sort of similar to America's as well. As the nation becomes more prosperous, the people are losing their hunger and their thirst for the gospel. And if you look into the history of South Korea's Christianity, there were great revival. The revival was so amazing that pastors wrote books about how shocked they were to see the amount of repentance and the tears and the revival that happened. And South Korea is losing that as we become more rich and, you know, prosperous. And this is kind of the natural progression. You see this throughout history, and this is this sad thing, and is happening in South Korea as well.
We see that, like as you mentioned so often, that sometimes the prosperity is more difficult, it seems, for people to maintain a godly view of life than even during times of pain. And yet we saw this over and over again as we did a study in the book of Judges, when the enemy was upon them and they were going through very difficult times. They would cry out to the Lord, and then the Lord would deliver them, and then they would have these years of prosperity, and then during the years of prosperity is again when many of them fell away. Not that there is, you know, inherent evil in the prosperity, but it just seems that during those times, people are less vigilant about their spiritual life, and they are taken up with the trinkets of this world and don't maintain their focus on the things of the Lord. You noted in your article, especially a couple of times, about the hyper-charismatic movement, especially the movements associated with the prosperity gospel, and that you
right.
mentioned you're on a taxi ride, and the taxi driver figures out through your conversation that your dad is a pastor, and right away he assumes that your family is rich. Boy, that speaks volumes, right?
Yeah, that speaks volumes. I was just shocked, and he looked at my face, and he immediately knew that he did something wrong. He was just like, well, the pastors in South Korea, I know they are pretty rich. So, I mean, a lot of South Korea also has a lot of cult personalities. A lot of, yes, as you mentioned, the prosperity gospel, and a lot of pastors who I'm not sure whether they're actually Christians or not, but use the name of the Lord to gain wealth for themselves. So you hear a lot of cases like that, and unfortunately they make the media headlines, and that's what people's image of Christianity is and pastors.
Now, you say in the article that, and it's hard for us to bring this out without knowing Korean itself, but the words that are used for both Christianity in Korea and also the word for pastor, they have actually slightly changed those words in order to make them more mocking terms about what they see taking place. Is that correct?
Yes. So Christianity in Korean is kedokyo, but then they're not quite kedokyo, and ke means dog. And muksanyeon means pastor, and it's actually a very respectful term. But they call it moksanim, mok meaning to eat, meaning apparently they think pastors all they do is eat.
So the Christianity is associated with a dog, and pastors are associated with those that are given over to gluttony, that just love to eat. Well, boy, there's a great image for you taking place. And, you know, I had a little bit of a interaction with, I used to pronounce him, his name is Paul Young-Yi Cho, but in your article, I think I have it reversed. So it's is it Cho Young-Yi?
Right. Cho is his family name.
Okay.
Last name.
Okay. And then I remember when I first was saved, I was saved into a small storefront charismatic church, and the church was really, really good on, we studied the scriptures, and, you know, just a really good beginning to the church. It was all about you know, serving the Lord with all your heart and studying the Word of God and witnessing to those on the streets of Buffalo. And it was a pretty rough area during that time. So there were, but a lot of people were coming to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the church was doing just doing wonderful things initially. But I remember that a book came out called The Fourth Dimension, which was by this Young Yi, or Young Yi Cho, or Cho Young Yi. It was by him, and it started talking about that you could have whatever you say. And it was based upon, I think, Mark 11:26, I think it is. If you shall say unto this mountain, mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into sea, and believe in your heart that what you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you say. So they started then in the church going away from the gospel message and talking right. about that we could have whatever we wanted, whatever you could say with your mouth, that you were like a little God and that it would actually come to pass. So now you got people that are confessing that they have Cadillacs and Mercedes, and the focus got all off of the gospel completely, and it got off on how we could use the gospel to enrich ourselves in this world. That's what the focus became, and it absolutely ruined the witness of the church and the community,
yeah.
and it just destroyed it. So there it is in a microcosm or a micro view of what you're describing taking place in Korea on, in a macro view. Is that correct?
Right, that's devastating.
Hmm.
I mean, nothing that I wrote about in the article about South Korea is extraordinary. We see instances of this in history over and over again, and we see it in America as well.
Hmm.
Whenever the church and the Christian community loses the gospel and their focus is not on God but distracted by all the glittering things in the world, that's when a lot of problems and tragedies come to society. It just goes hand in hand.
Mm. And what makes this story even more sad than just that, you know, the idea of the gospel being perverted into something it was never intended to be. But what makes it more sad to me is when you lay out just how desperate the people of Korea are right now. You point out in your story about how many suicides take place in Korea and how it's like the sex trafficking capital of the world. And give our listeners some of those statistics that you point to as to just how dark South Korea is behind the scenes.
Right. Suicide is one of the leading problems in South Korea right now. It is suicide is the leading cause for death for South Koreans who are between 10 to 30 years old.
The leading,
and
I just want to make sure.
Leading
cause of death between 10 and 38 years old, the leading cause of death is suicide. I'm sorry, I just wanted to stress that with our listening audience. Go ahead.
Yes, 10 to 30 years old.
Okay.
And then it's also the leading cause for suicide for those above 65 as well.
Hmm.
And that's tremendous in Korean culture because usually, typically, those above 65 are treated with such respect and reverence that their life is supposed to be this great.
Mm-hmm.
That's when they retire. That's when they get to see their grandsons, and everybody treats them with great respect, and they are the head of the family. But to have people above 65 killing themselves, that says a lot in Korean culture.
Now, with so many people taking their own life in one country like that, is there any one issue that is pointed to? You also go on to talk about the level of pornography. You talk about the level
right.
of sex trafficking and child sex trafficking and so forth. Is it connected with that in any way, or is there an issue that is pointed to pinpoint why so many people are taking their life in South Korea?
I don't know if you can just point to one issue of it being pornography addiction or sex trafficking. It can be a lot of numerous factors. Like, I think a lot of it boils down to family, broken families. And then it also shows the level of stress that these people are under, because South Korea is a fiercely competitive society. Education is very, very fierce as well. My current cousin, she used to go to school at 9 a.m., come back at 11 p.m., and then just repeat. So there are numerous levels of stress in all areas, from family to personal to school to work.
Hmm. In your article, you mentioned that sex trafficking and prostitution flourish in South Korea, which is the a source, transit, and destination country for the sex trade. The Ministry of Gender Equality estimates that half a million people work in the domestic sex trade industry, which drives at least 4% of the nation's GDP. I don't think that people are aware of what is actually taking place there to that level.
Yeah. I mean, South Korea also produces the, I think, highest per capita revenue for pornography, and it's like $526. And I mean, compared to the United States, which is $44.
On pornography, $526.76 per person, compared to $44.67 per person in the United States, is revenue gained per capita, right?
Right. I mean, South Korea is a very small country.
How many people are we talking in South Korea? Roughly?
About 50 million,
okay. After going through that, in your article then, as you get to the end of it, you talk a little bit more about the breakdown of the family. Again, the perception, I think, over here would be when we think about, you know, Asian families, we think about that respect that you were talking about. We think about the close-knit, the importance of family. But you mentioned in the article that just in the last year or so, the family has really taken a significant hit. And there's been a number of divorces and so forth. Speak to that issue, if you would.
Right. So families used to be a very important part of Korean life, but just the family, the tight-knitness is falling apart. You see a lot more single mothers now. You see a lot more divorce now. And, I mean, the divorce rate, the national divorce rate went up three times from between 2013 and 2014.
Mm-hmm.
Like just within 1 year, it tripled. And a lot of young people are not getting married now. That's one of the key concerns that I kept hearing over and over again, was that the young people just don't want to get married because they know what they have a very diminished view of marriage, and that's huge.
Talk a little bit about the issue of medical tourism to South Korea. What's going on medical tourism wise as well?
Right. Medical tourism is one of the thriving economic sectors in South Korea. And you see a lot of people from China, from Southeast Asia, even from America going to South Korea for medical tourism, but the highest chunk of that medical tourism is actually plastic surgery. So a lot of people are going to Korea because they know that the plastic surgery there is top notch, and also they know top notch, and they also know that it's cheap because many people do it.
So we're looking at South Korea is actually the most cosmetic procedures per capita in the world are performed in South Korea. And the article goes on to say that one in five Korean women has had plastic surgery. And in Seoul alone, it hosts 500 cosmetic surgery clinics, many offering special packages, deals with nearby hotels for post-recovery and so forth. And then you give a personal experience where you were on the subway. What did you see?
Right. I was in the subway, and I saw two women, and they had these scarves around their face. And then I happened to just stand next to them, and I saw that their face were all puffed up. and their eyelids were swollen. I mean, and they had bandages. And I was just shocked. And at first, I thought they were domestic abuse victims. But then I kept staring at them, and something was not right. And that was when I realized that they probably just had plastic surgery and are on the way to the hotel, because to me, they definitely looked foreign.
Mm. What did you feel like after seeing them on the train and walking away?
Well, I mean, to be honest, at first I just got this perverse curiosity, and I was just staring at them. They were glaring back at me.
Mm-hmm.
But then I started thinking about what that really meant and the consequence and the significance of that. And I got really, really sad and angry because of that kind of influence that my country is including on other countries as well. Mm. And we used to be one of the top sending missionary countries in the world. And right now, the kind of influence that we are sending is, I mean, how much we have fallen, that part just really hit me.
Mm. It's so sad, isn't it? A place that, as you mentioned, there was an explosion of Christian ministries and missionaries that left South Korea. They were noted for people that loved their Bibles and knew their Bibles well. And now, according to your article here, they're being much noted now for these false images that they're putting forth, and this suicide, sex is rampant, and so forth. And now when people think of South Korea, they're thinking of Gangnam Style, whatever that is, Gangnam Style. I don't even know. I thought the thing was ridiculous from the very beginning. But they're noted for things like that and you know, different types of drunkenness and you know, debauchery taking place there. It's grieving, isn't it?
It is grieving, but I also see hope in it. I think it's always a good sign when people are suffering. I mean, not that suffering is good, but that through suffering comes, again, that hunger and the thirst.
Yes.
I think I'm praying that because people are suffering, that they will turn their attention back to the Lord, and that the churches will wake up and start preaching the true and pure gospel.
Mm.
And I'm also seeing that kind of happening as well. So it's not all light, I hope.
Yeah, amen. I certainly have the same feelings as you do, as I just even hear, not even being from there, obviously, like yourself, but just hearing what the devastation is. It reminds me of Nehemiah, you know, where when he heard from his brethren what the sad state of Jerusalem was, that the walls were broken down and the gates were burned up with fire. You know, he was sad and he wept. And even this past week in our Sunday school, I was talking about blessed are they that mourn. And I was talking about not only should we, you know, it's a imagery there that the Lord Jesus Christ is giving in the Beatitudes, that it's like a biography of the Christian as he comes to Christ. You know, at first he recognizes his poverty of spirit, is bankrupt before God morally, and he doesn't have anything to offer the Lord morally in order to secure salvation. But second step is that he mourns his condition and he mourns the sin. And I was making the point this past week that not only should we be mourning our own condition, but we should be mourning sin in general, you know, just the sin, the way it is taken over in our society. We should be mourning the sorry state of affairs that there is in the church today, that a church like this in South Korea and like the many, many churches in the United States are in such poor shape. The walls are broken down and the gates are burned with fire. And we shouldn't just be okay with it. We shouldn't just go on with our daily lives like nothing is happening. As you point out, you know, in your article, you close it out this way. The trip gave me many reasons to pray. I saw much blessing that South Korea has enjoyed over the decades. It's almost miraculously surged from a third world war devastated country to the advanced nation recognized for its economic achievements, technological progress, and glamorous pop culture and passionate church revival. This country literally rose out of the ashes, and in those ashes was the blood of thousands of Christian martyrs. Many Christians I interviewed lament the Koreans today, content with designer clothes and organic apples. I've forgotten the meaning of suffering, but it's not true. People are still suffering, only in a very different way. And I think you're absolutely right, and I share your desire for revival to break out again and for the church to once again be returned to the church it once was, for the message of the gospel to be clearly proclaimed. Sophia, I love your writing. I love the way that you do a really good job of bringing the stories to us and in a unique way. So thank you so much for, first of all, writing this article and bringing it to our attention again. And then thank you so much for joining us today on the broadcast. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
That was Sophia Lee. Sophia is a reporter for World Magazine, and the article that I was referring to is called Plastic Facade. That's the article that you'll find out on worldmag.com. That's www.worldmag.com. She also has another article out there, and there's some sidebar articles as well. Christian Expats lead Soul Outreach Ministries. And she says, while Seoul, Korea is known for sending missionaries to other countries, the local church is not as good about addressing cultural needs at home. And so that's a separate article that you'll find out there written by Sophia. You can go out to worldmag.com and check it out.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.